Well, we are in the book of the Revelation. Father, we thank you this morning for all that you do and for who you are and who we are in you. Because truly, Lord, without you, we're nothing. And as you said, we can't do anything. We are so dependent. And the more we come to understand that, the better off we'll be. I'm not doing a work, Lord, you're doing the work. I'm not the teacher, Lord, your Holy Ghost is the teacher. And I'm simply an instrument here. And we just want to yield the floor to you, O God. We want to yield the floor to your Spirit to speak to our hearts this day as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation 16:15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. This will be Jesus giving one last warning. Take notice that he didn't say that he's a thief, but he comes as a thief. He did identify the true thief in John 10:10. He said the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So truly he wasn't calling himself a thief. God don't have to steal anything, seeing as how he owns everything. But folks, that one could easily point to these two scriptures and charge the Bible with having contradictions. But such a person is approaching the word of God from a spiritually flawed position. Only true believers, really true believers, can read and understand such things as these. It must be approached and viewed through the eyes of faith and not just sight. Our position is that which is expressed in 2 Timothy 3:16, which says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for this doctrine and reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Jesus said in John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you want to be free, then you need to know the truth. And the way that you know the truth is what God will reveal to you. Knowing it in your knower ain't high enough knowledge. You need the revelation of God to show it to you. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. One of the worst things a person can do is know the truth and still walk in falsehood. It's know the truth and ignore the truth. Having received the revelation of truth and continue on down the road of error. That's one of the worst things in the world that anyone can do. You're saying, I don't want to be free when you do that. That's what you're saying. When you receive the truth and you don't walk in the truth, you're saying, yeah, I like my bondage. Now, of course, you're not coming out saying that, but I mean, it translates to that. I can be free if I know the truth and then walk in the truth and begin to live in the truth. The truth makes me free from whatever this is the truth was revealed to me about. So when a person receives truth and walks away from it, they're saying, I want to walk in error. You can call it anything you want. Well, you know, I have trouble in this. I can't quite get over this. I need to do it this way until I get this or until I get that. You lie. Once you know the truth will make you free.
Amen.
If God gives you a door to walk through and you don't walk through it, it's not his fault. It's your fault. Now you gotta have the nerve to do it. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And that door might be a big flame of fire or something. You go, Lord, that's fire. You say, walk through it. Yeah, but ain't it gonna burn me? Walk through it. Because you walk by faith and not by sight. I'm being a little dramatic, I'm doing it for effect. But you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. It will make you free. That's different to be made into it.
Right.
You are formed
right.
into freedom.
Right. Correct. Correct.
You become free.
Correct. Yeah. Right.
You know, it's different.
Right.
It's different than saying, let me out of jail. This is like, no, he just made you something. Amen. You'll never, ever have to walk in that thing again.
Amen.
You'll never have to deal with it again.
Right.
You'll know it, and it shall make you free.
Amen.
People don't usually expect a thief, but if they did, they would prepare for him.
Right.
They'd have booby traps and all kinds of things waiting for
him.
Right. And alarms. So the statement in Revelation 16:15 means that the coming of Jesus is going to be a surprise.
Yeah.
Now, the rapture of the church will be a surprise even to us Christians, since we don't know when exactly it will happen. But he couldn't be talking to the church, because by this time in the tribulation period, the church would have been raptured away anyway.
Amen.
So he's not talking to us.
Right.
So this reference is to the coming of Jesus
right.
at the end of the tribulation period, when the unclean spirits seduce all of the kings of the earth to gather their armies at Armageddon.
Right.
Then will Jesus return and catch them by surprise. They won't be looking for him.
Right.
You talk about deceived, but they're going to be so blinded by these lying spirits, these lying demons.
Right.
And Jesus is going to come and catch them by surprise.
Right.
Well, what the scripture says, blessed is he who watches and keeps his garment.
Right.
It's an encouragement to remain faithful.
Yes.
Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garment. The garment speaks of the righteousness of Christ. Those who refuse to take the mark of the beast will be blessed when Christ returns, but those that take it will be exposed. And it's like being exposed. It's like not having clothes on. I kind of was studying this and think, wow, this seems to have religious overtones, because some of the worst things that's happened in the history of man has been because of religion.
Mm-hmm.
We got folks get killed today because of religion.
Mm-hmm.
Strange things and strange departures that they take.
Right.
They call the name of someone who they say is a prophet, and we're doing it in the name of this prophet, and they go and they'll kill 50 people.
Right.
Or 150, or 500 people.
Right.
And say, I'm going to heaven for this.
Right.
Okay. No. I don't think so, you know.
No.
It's, you see? But religion. And so that means that these folks here that will take this mark is going to be exposed for exactly who they are. They're claiming to represent and to worship the true God.
Right.
But if it's the true God and the one and only God, then no other God will be able to overcome your God.
Right.
But he's going to expose them, because he's going to overcome every God that's worshipped in that group. Revelation 16:16 says, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. This verse is the only place that Armageddon appears in the Bible.
Right.
It is Hebrew and the name of a place in northern Israel. It means Mount of Megiddo,
right.
which is a large hill just west of the Jordan River in the plain of Israelon, sometimes called the Valley of Jehoshaphat. This location has become a symbol for final battle.
Yeah.
The final battle of good and evil. This is the place where the major armies of the world will gather for battle.
Yeah.
They are going to come in hordes and droves. You know, it's all about Israel, you know.
Yes.
They hate God's people.
Yes.
And they say, we're going to get them.
Yeah.
We're going to destroy them. We're going to push them in the sea. Only problem is, they didn't really check with Israel's God. Because
right.
they still haven't managed to push little Israel into
right.
the sea.
Right. Right.
Now it's 50,000 of y'all, and it's a few of them.
Right.
How come you still ain't managed to push them into the sea?
Right. Right.
Y'all got all these people, you got all these bombers and things that
right.
you do,
right.
but you still can't touch Israel.
Right.
just like Pharaoh with his mm-hmm. insane self.
Right.
After about 9 plagues, he right. still decided that he was going to go against God. The man had to have been insane.
Right.
What yes. made him think? Sure. Y'all tell me, what made him think God was going to hold that water open for him to go through it?
Right.
His people.
Right.
He already judged him 9 times.
Right.
What made, that's why I say he had to have been insane.
Sure.
Because, you know, in a prize fight, you'll knock me down 9 times.
Right.
I'll be yelling to my corner like, throw in the towel, throw in the towel, man. What are the odds I'm going to be knocked down 10 times? Ain't going to be no lucky punch.
Right.
I've thrown all my lucky punches and I miss every time. So, yeah, that's how it's going to happen. You know, they're going to be called together in this place called Armageddon.
Yeah.
Revelation 16:17, it says, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. In John 19:30, just before Jesus died,
yeah.
he said, it is finished.
Right. Right. Right.
But just before he returns, he will say, it is done.
Yeah.
The events that follow this statement will bring an end to Satan's reign.
Amen. Wow.
There is an end to his reign.
Yeah,
it's already prophesied that it's coming.
Yeah.
In Revelation 16:18, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. Something will happen when the seventh angel pours that final vial or bowl of judgment. The atmosphere, it's going to react with mm-hmm. great flashes of lightning mm-hmm. and thunder mm-hmm. that it will shake the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And this earthquake will be off the Richter scale.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to hit the likes of which has never occurred yeah. since the creation of man.
Right.
But let's pull over for just a minute and review some of the major earthquakes of the last 100 years.
Right.
And I promise you I won't stay long. I just go down the list. December 28, 1908, in Messina, Italy, an earthquake hit. Between 70,000 and 100,000 people died in this earthquake. These are just some major ones.
Right.
December 16, 1920, in Gansu, China, one hit. 200,000 people perished. September 1st, 1923, in Kanto, Japan, 140,000 people died. May 22nd, 1927, Nuxing, China, mm-hmm. near Xing, China,
mm-hmm.
200,000 people died. December 25th, 1932, in Gansu, China, 70,000 died. May 30th, 1935, in Kitta, Pakistan, between 30,000 and 60,000 people died from an earthquake. October 5th, 1948, Akbat, Turkestan, 110,000 people died. May 31st, 1970, in Peru, 66,000 people died. July 27th, 1976, in Tangshan, China, 255,000 people died. In an earthquake. June 20th, 1990, in northwest Iran, 50,000 people died. December 26, 2004, in Sumatra,
yeah.
283,106 yeah. people died.
Right.
October 7, 2005, in Pakistan, unofficially, 79,000 people died. From earthquakes that man know about.
Mm-hmm.
The massive number of people that have died over the last 100 years or so, I didn't even bother to add them up.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous number. Earthquake. The one the Lord is talking about is one such as has never been seen by
right.
man since the creation of mankind.
Right, right, right.
Lightnings and thunders and
right.
rumblings.
Right, right.
Thank God for Jesus.
Yeah.
Ain't you glad you know him?
Yeah.
He's getting us out of this thing.
Right, right.
We're not going to have to deal with this.
Right.
And again, I remind you for your children and your grandchildren and your friends and your cousins. Say, if you're here and I'm gone and I die, that means I didn't go in the rapture, but don't take the mark. Pass this word down from granddaddy. Don't take the mark. And if you die just before you go, you tell your children to tell the church, don't take the mark. Because there's no getting out of it then, if you're in that generation. Don't take the mark. Revelation 16:19, and the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Even though Babylon will be split into three parts, it will still stand. It'll still stand. Which is not the fate of most places that are hit by earthquakes.
Right.
Most cities. Many are leveled to the ground.
Right.
But Babylon is not leveled, but remembered by God. Why? So she can fulfill the Old Testament prophecies so that she can taste the full fury of God's wrath.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He knows how to preserve the wicked until judgment.
Right.
He can preserve. Folks say, well, you're dead, you're gone. I'm so sorry to have to tell you that you're not really gone.
No.
It does not end at death.
Right, yeah, right.
And those that think that, they won't lost than they even know.
Right.
It does not end at death.
Right.
Revelation 16:20 says, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. You got to think about this. Did you know that islands have been formed after earthquakes?
Right.
I bet you a guess that mountains may come from a similar seismic activity.
Yeah.
In this scripture, the islands are removed.
Right.
Earthquakes, but the islands are removed.
Right.
I suppose they're sunk into the sea or disappear, and the mountains are removed as well. Now, I've been to North Carolina. I haven't been that far. But I've been to North Carolina two times in my life. The first trip was, it gave me the first view of a mountain in my whole life. I grew up in Jacksonville, flatland. Most of the mountain I saw was going over a bridge or, you know, or a little hump in the, you know. I'm like, ooh, well, yeah. But I went there, and this was my first view of a mountain. And as I looked, the greatness and the grandeur of it all, it caused me to involuntarily tear. The tears just began to run down my cheeks. It's not that I was sad or anything, but I was just looking at this mountain and just looking at my, the tears just began to run. It was something. I was awestruck. I was thoroughly impressed as I watched that waterfall running down from the lofty heights. And then the steam was rising from the waterfall. Yeah. It was something to behold.
Oh, yeah.
My very first mountain.
Sure. Sure.
It was something to behold.
Yeah.
If you've seen mountains, what I saw was small compared to some of the other mountains in the world. Mount Kilimanjaro comes to mind in Africa. You've heard of Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa? It comes to mind. This mountain is reported to extend to the height of 16,000 feet from its base, and it's 19,341 feet above sea level. People have died climbing that mountain. They've had all kinds of complications, and you know, the weather got them. They had heart attacks, and they had brain problems, and just numerous things trying to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. But they did. Now, I give these statistics to show the vast size of mountains. Now, consider that this scripture in Revelation 16:20 states that the mountains will not be found. Meaning I could drive back through that same place where I saw that mountain, and it's like that mountain won't be there. And I say, it was right over there. I say, it was over there. But Revelation 16:20 says that mountains, they will not be found.
Wow.
Now that is a tremendously powerful judgment that God is talking about. Because who can stay these mountains? Who cannot be impressed by these mountains?
Right.
by these natural phenomena that have taken place. You can see mountains from outer space.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you know, but yet this judgment says the mountains won't even be found.
Wow.
The islands will be gone. Man, that's worse than any bomb man has ever made.
Yeah, right.
And he's made some pretty devastating bombs.
Right.
But this one,
right,
really something. Now, Revelation 16:21, and there fell upon men a great hail out of the heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail.
Wow.
For the plague thereof was exceeding great. This seventh plague in Egypt during the days of Moses was the one in Egypt during the days of Moses. It was hail, but was ice mixed with fire. Now that would shake me up. I mean, I sent a note to Pharaoh or something, say, look, whatever these people want, I've never seen ice on fire.
Right.
What is that?
Right. Yeah.
Hell, and it's burning.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm still also by that vision, you know? It killed the cattle of the field.
Right.
And it broke down all of the trees.
Right.
In Egypt. This will be so much worse.
Yeah.
We can sometimes miss the impact of a statement of measurement like the weight of a talent.
Mm-hmm.
But when you consider that when it's converted to pounds, a talent, it said weighs about the weight of a man.
Wow.
About 100 pounds or more. We got hail falling that is at least 100 pounds or more. Big chunks of hail. Yeah, leave a grease spot. And so right there, that's why you should read and look some of these terms up, because you say, oh, talent.
Right,
no. So-so got talent. Right. So-so got talent, you know. Right. But if you look it up and go, you would be our talent.
Right.
It's over 100 pounds.
Right.
That changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
So when you consider that hail or ice, which is what it is, weighing at least 100 pounds will fall on men, it colors in a more descriptive picture. It will tear this thing up. Oh man, where are you going to go? You got hail falling, you going to run out there? You're going to get in your car?
Right.
It's going to tear your car up. 100 pounds coming straight down?
Right.
And the weight of it?
Right.
I wasn't good in physics, but I know it's going to be worse than just 100 pounds when it hits. Because it's traveling at such a velocity.
Right.
And hail doesn't just fall in one drop. It's like a bunch of drops.
Right.
That's what he's talking about. That's why we don't take them up. And tell your people after you, don't take them up. Y'all pass the word down. Don't take them up. Whoever your loved one is, or your significant other, whoever.
Right.
Say, don't take the mark, pass it down. What do you mean, mark? Just write it down.
Right.
Don't take the mark. And yet, after all of this, the men can still be so fierce that rather than acknowledge the preeminence and mastery of God, instead, they blaspheme.
Right.
Now, that's fierce. That's fierce. And I don't know how much it surprised me anymore, the things that men do, because I've said as a younger man, but now I've seen everything. Nothing will surprise me again, and then something surprises me. And I say, okay, maybe that's it. Then something else surprises me. And it's men that's surprising me, the things that men are doing.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking that men, there must be some limit somewhere, but men, it's amazing the depth that men will go, and the fierceness of men, and the defiance of men. And, you know, for a man to defy God, when you know that this is God, rather than say, God, please have mercy on me. Please help me. Instead, they're cursing him.
Right.
No matter what he does, I will not change my position in him.
Right.
Well, too bad, because the next stop liquefied.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it gets worse after death.
Yeah.
For you, dear believers, this is the closest that you will ever get to hell.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But for non-believers, this is the closest that they will get to heaven.
Right.
If they don't repent and accept Jesus Christ.
Right.
This is indeed a matter of life and death. Life and death. And hey, you know, we should applaud ourselves because we've made it to Revelation 16.
Amen.
And I don't know if you've ever read through the book of Revelation. Most people don't. But we're studying through the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
It's been over a year now
that
we've been doing this. So we'll be wrapping up, I guess, in 5 more chapters, but it's verse by verse. So it sounds short, but I don't think it's as short as it sounds.
Yeah.
But I promise you, there is good news in the book for us. We just need to get through this tribulation thing. Chapter 17 is going to be quite a challenge, I think, for us to study through that one. But if you come, we can work together through it.
Amen.
But it's going to be challenging. I kind of read ahead a little bit.
Right.
And it's got so many, you know, I just stopped reading. So I'll just include this in my next study. Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I have had a thoroughly good time today with you guys. We are the church. We're not in church. We are the church.
Amen.
So that means I had a good time in the church.
Amen.
With the church.
Amen.
We are other dimensional.
Amen.
We're not this building, as I said before. This thing could be a jip joint in a month. If the right people get it, the wrong people get it.
Right.
And folks say, I thought that was a church. No, the church is there.
Right.
They're there now.
Right.
So we are the church. And thank God for you for coming. And thank you, my sister, for that wonderful testimony.
Amen.
Wow. Thank Brother Steve for coming. God has truly engineered this day.
Yeah.
I was about to fall off that stool over there. So much is going on. It's been such a powerful morning. So thank you, and God, we thank you today for wonderful grace and love and kindness. I'm so glad, Lord Jesus, that you came and did what you did for us.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you lived, you died, you were buried and resurrected. Thank you for that, Lord. You were ascended on high. Then you received the Holy Ghost from the Father, sent him to us. To be our instructor, teacher, one that was sent to lead and guide us into all truth, that truth you said that we will know, and thereby be made free. So through the agency of the Holy Spirit, we claim our freedom. We claim it in the name of Jesus. We accept the freedom that you give through your word, by your spirit. Strengthen us, O God, to be bold in our faith and walk by faith and not by sight. No matter how difficult it may seem, have us to walk by faith anyway. Have us to move in the direction that you're pointing, Lord, by your Spirit. Help us to trust you, Lord, with everything that we have and everything that we are. Help us, Lord, to not be afraid to believe you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Don't take the mark.
No matter what.